morning to everyone. We are very grateful to God for this another day. Amen. He's been good to us. He let us lay down last night and woke up on this morning. If you're thankful to be alive like I am, say amen with me. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. Whether you're here present or you're listening to us via YouTube and Facebook Live, we welcome you to our services. What you're experiencing is a New Testament pattern of worship where we're singing without the help of mechanical instruments or music. We would take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And what we're doing, the reason we do these things, we're following the New Testament pattern of worship, how the apostles worshiped. That's what they did. They didn't have choirs and guitars and drums and things like that in worship, so we sing. The Bible said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The heart meaning the, as you think it in your heart. So we're singing. Individuals sing. Individuals take communion. No one can do that for you. You have to sing for yourself. Amen. So that's what you're experiencing if you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ. I mean, you're visiting with us for the first time. Also, you need to know that we believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And the only way you can be saved is you got to believe that this Bible is right. How many of y'all believe that the Bible is right? Yeah, the Bible is right. And every word of it. And Jesus told us what to do to be saved. After he suffered on the cross, he got up and resurrected and said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe in it is baptized shall be saved. So he must be baptized. Baptism is for the remission or the washing away of your sins. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb when you're baptized, according to Revelation 1 and verse 5, Acts 22 and verse 16. And then the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible. Another thing you need to know, there's but one church in the Bible. Some people don't know that. That's what the Bible talks about. One Lord, one faith, one God, but one body. Is also the church. And so if you believe the Bible, then you'll have no problem with anything we're teaching. Amen? So this morning, I just finished a tent meeting, one of those old-fashioned outdoor. They had me all hyped up. Boy, I've been back to the old-fashioned gospel meeting outside with the mosquitoes. Yeah, you know, 2 weeks of it. We were down there in Dallas, and it was a wonderful thing. But what I did realize is that all of the churches of Christ are struggling right now post-pandemic. And many need to be revived, and it's throughout the brotherhood, you all. It's throughout the brotherhood. But you know, pandemic, you gotta weigh it in a balance. And it was good, there was some good, because we know all things work together for good. There's upside, downside. But as Christians, we know everything works together for our good. So I think that sometimes we lose perspective on how good God has been to us. So I thought I'd go to this lesson, hopefully to encourage you this morning to think more in terms of the good that God has been, how good has God been to you, and where he brought you from, where you are today as it pertains to the saving of your soul. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to be at this morning, verse 1, God does great things. And the Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, this is right after Jesus had spoke to the winds, and they obeyed, and the sea obeyed him, and he said, peace be still. Now, verse 2.
And when he was come out of the ship.
Now, this is when he came right out of the ship. Notice what immediately he says, what? There met him out of a tomb a man with an unclean spirit. His mic's not on, guys. Immediately, as soon as he stepped out the ship, this man, notice this man, this is the subject of the discussion here this morning. This man
came out of a tomb and met him.
Now, it's my prayer that I can make this scene come live for you so you can kind of go there and take your mind off of other stuff that you have that may be going on in your mind. Just take that off. Think about what God is teaching us through this word. He says, now, this man was obviously, probably, he had unclean spirit. We call that devil possession, a demon possessed people. We don't see this today. Just so you know, no one is possessed by a devil that's going to control him like we're seeing here. And when Jesus took these devils, exercised these, this exorcism of devils out of this guy, that's not happening today either. That's not the main thought of this talk. This man is a maniac. He has some devils in him. He got spirits controlling what he's doing. This was not a normal man. Matthew, this story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew's account of this story, it says that it was two men at the tomb. But this one particular man came out of the tomb, and so it was a place where they would go, and like kind of like homeless people today, when people outsiders kind of, they'd go to the tombs. Many poor people go there just for shelter. But this guy had something different about him, in that he was possessed with these spirits caused him to act like a crazy man. Watch what happens. And when he went, what? Forth to the land, that's Luke's account. The Bible says, oh, you stay right there. Luke's account says when he went forth to the land, met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. And he wore no clothes. That's what Luke said. He had devils in him for a long time, and he wore no clothes. So this man had been dealing with these devils for a long time. Now, the devil's going to always be an issue for all of us. Amen. Y'all realize that, don't you? The devil's going to be an issue no matter where you are in life. You can be here at this building, or you can be at your home, or you can be on your job. The devil's always going to be an issue because the devil don't want us to be saved. Y'all know that, right? That's the formidable enemy that we're battling. We're fighting against Satan. That's why Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the enemy, is the devil. The devil don't want us to be saved. Amen. We have to want to be saved. You can't come to this building for a social gathering. You got to come to be educated so that you know what to do to fight the wiles of the devil. Now, to understand this man's situation, Luke said he abode in no house but in these tombs. Now, look at Mark 5:3. Watch him. Watch what happens to this man. He had his dwelling among the tomb.
He had his dwelling among the tomb.
And what?
And had no man.
No man could bind him, not with chains. This guy is wild. Think about it. Look at him now. He can't be bound with chains. So look at it. What we know about him so far, he's naked. He's possessed with devils. He will be considered, if you walk up with somebody like this on the street, you call him crazy or insane. Mental issues. He had to smell because, you know, he's up there in them tombs. And then, he probably had no bath in years. This man was strong. He had superhuman strength. He could break chains. Listen to the Bible. No man could bind him. He could not be bound in chains. You know, they put him in chains, lock him down. This man, they couldn't lock him down with chains. Listen to the Bible now in verse number 4. And
because that, he had been often bound with
fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder. He was breaking these chains. And the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man. He was like somebody who couldn't even be tamed. Amen. And then so this man's condition is obviously worse than we even know. At times he was bound and it was fetters and chains. And he was so strong that the chains were plucked asunder. He would break out of them. He was a strong man. So y'all see him now? What you seeing? You see a man that's in a tomb. This man in a graveyard area. And this man smells. This man is naked. He's possessed with devils. He's probably been there a long time. He was so bad, people locked them up with chains and shackles. And he was strong. He was superhuman. But something else is going on with this man. Listen to the Bible. Look at him now. In verse 5.
And always.
Night and day.
He was in a mountain.
Always. He was in the mountains, nighttime and daytime. Think about him now. And notice he was in the tombs.
Crying.
What was he doing?
Crying. And cutting himself.
This was a miserable man. Right? See, when we dealing with devils, it's a miserable life. You can't have joy when the devil is active. See, that's what happens when people get discouraged. Because the devil don't want us uplifted. He doesn't want us happy. He doesn't want us filled with joy to come to the building. The devil wants us all miserable. He wants the world to be miserable because he's miserable. He's a miserable person. He's a miserable being. And this devil has this man's situation. This is a miserable man. Now, think about it. This man had to have a mama and he had to have a daddy. Is that right? We know he had to have family. How do you know? Well, he's a man. He had to have a family. Where's his family at? Sometimes when things get really bad and the devil is really busy, your family won't even be there for you. Remember that. Sometimes your family can't help you, but where God needs to help you. You have to remember that. Sometimes you got to just deal with the devil. It's just you and God. It's going to take you and God to deal with the devil. Amen. He cried. He cut himself because he was miserable. There's people today that are miserable people because they're not living for the Lord. They don't have God in their life. The devil is controlling their situation. Not possession, but he's leading them. Which spirit is leading you? It has to be the spirit of God in order for us to have joy and peace and happiness. If you're here today and you're unhappy, you're miserable, what spirit is leading that? When Paul said, rejoice what? In the Lord how often? Sometimes. Every once in a while. He didn't say that. Always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. So it's the spirit of the individual in worship. How did you come this morning? What did you come with on your mind? What's disturbing you? The Bible says in John 4:23, the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, that spirit means the attitude of the worshiper. For God seeketh such to worship him. So when you're worshiping God and the devil's interfering in your thought process, you won't have a joy-filled worship. How many of you have a joy-filled worship this morning? You were singing with psalms and hymns, and you were filled with joy, and you could think about how good God has been to you. How many of you came and worshiped this morning, and you're hearing what's on your mind is not something that's bringing joy. What's on your mind is something disturbing you. That's not God doing that. God is not doing that. He don't send us disturbing messages. God's word is refreshing. It's joy-filled. God's word gives us information to understand God is always there. He never leave us, neither will he forsake us. God has been good. He's going to always be good. God is not just good sometimes, but God is good all of the time. So if you have come into this worship and your mind is on something that's disturbing you, I will ask you in person, and you and God, between you and God, this point, you need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he's interrupting your worship. He's interrupting you and God. Don't let that happen to you. I have to do that myself. We all sometimes, you can bring stuff from your home. You can bring stuff from your job with you. You can bring things going on in your life with you. You can bring all that stuff here. Or you can leave all that stuff outside and enjoy your worship with God. That's what you need to do. That's what we all have to do. And sometimes we need to be reminded to leave that junk outside, because that's devilish stuff. And the devilish stuff don't need to come in here with us. We need to be focused on worshiping our God, because God has been good and God has done great things for us. Amen. God has been good to us, you all. He's been good. He's a good God. He do great things. That's what I'm saying. We got to get our hands up as a congregation. We coming back strong. Amen. Because God does great things. He does great things. This man, he's got a bad situation. I kind of feel, I mean, you can't help but feel sorry for him. You got any kind of feelings. Then here's a man who's crying. Cutting himself. You see him? He's crying. Nighttime and what? Daytime. See, devil will disturb you at night. The devil will disturb you during the day. The devil will cause you to hurt yourself. You understand? He will cause you to cut yourself up. Now, somebody said, well, I don't literally cut myself, but are you, or do you, can you not forgive yourself? Can you not forgive someone else? Do you hate someone? You're hurting yourself. When you can't forgive someone, you're not going to get forgiveness. You're cutting yourself. When you don't focus on God and you focus on the devil, you're cutting yourself. When you take a position that you're going to fight against something, when God stands for it and it be right, you're cutting yourself. You can't stand against one church when it's just one. You're hurting yourself. You can't fight baptism. That's come from God. You're cutting yourself. You're hurting yourself. If Brother Brooks preached the word and I got to stay with the word, whether you like it or not, in season or out of season, I hurt myself if I add to it or if I take from it. That's what the Bible teaches me. Somebody said, well, I don't like what you're doing, Brother Brooks. It's not about you liking it. It's about me being okay with God and not losing my soul over what I believe is right. If it's wrong, I need to change it. If it's right, I'm going to stick with it. Because I can't hurt myself. You got to protect your own soul. Others won't do it. The devil won't help you save yourself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Don't let nobody try to discourage you when you know you can be filled with joy every day. Don't let nobody take your joy away when you walk in these doors. You come here knowing that God is still good, God is still great, and you talk to them when they're trying to sow discord or causing problems in your life. You got to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because only the devil would do that. One of the six things, seven things God hates is people who sow discord among the brethren. That's right. You got to understand, walking these doors, you got to keep your focus on God, because God is good. Anybody can deny that? Can y'all deny that? God is good. He loves us. He loves our souls. He gave his son to die for us. He takes care of our food and our shelter. He gives us water to drink, and he gives us air to breathe. And God has given us sunshine. He gives us the rain. He's a good God. God is good. He do great things. The devil don't want you to be okay. He doesn't want you saved. He doesn't want you in one church. He wants you to hurt yourself. He don't want you to get baptized. That's hurting you. He don't want you to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. That's hurting you. He wants you to be a troublemaker in the church, because that hurts you. It doesn't hurt God. It hurts you. And the devil knows that. He's trying to take everything good from us. And you know, how can we not feel sorry for him? He seemed to be trapped in this situation. Some of us get trapped in situations. Amen. You can get trapped in a situation in your marriage where the situation is controlling you. You're trapped. You're held in. You're miserable in relationships. We married yesterday. I don't know if you all know, Brother Houston and Saki were married yesterday. I married them. And you all know, they sit over here typically, but Phil, y'all. But yeah, Brother Phil, she married his son, brother, son. Yeah, him and his young lady. We married them on yesterday. Matter of fact, they just walked in the room. I just called their name, and now they walk in. Y'all come on in, because I'm talking about you. One thing about it, they didn't let their honeymoon slip the building, did they? They on their way. Amen. So, you know, that was good timing. Well, why I bring that up, because there are many marriages that are torn asunder, that couple is in the tomb and they're hurting themselves because God is not in the marriage. In the relationships here at the church, we have to have God in our relationships to love each other, y'all. We have to love each other. You might not like something I say or do, but you're going to hurt yourself if you can't love me. You're cutting your own self. Jesus could love the enemies who would kill him on the cross. How do you know that, brother? One of the things he uttered from the cross was, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. If all of us had a Christ-like spirit, we could walk in here filled with joy and happiness. How you know that, Brother Brooks? That's all the Lord's Spirit brings. It doesn't bring us down like this. It brings us joy and freedom from sin. Being, you know, just being baptized is a great thing the Lord has done. Because we were trapped in sin. And maybe somebody here today, you're trapped in sin. You're trapped in a drug addiction. Or maybe you're trapped in alcohol addiction. Or maybe you're trapped in a relationship where the man won't marry and you all are living together. And you know it's not right. But you know you can't make it financially. The reason y'all stand together, because it's a better situation. You're partners. That's the way you view it. But really, you're both hurting yourself. Because you can never be saved living together unmarried. You say, Brother Brooks, we ain't doing nothing. Okay. If you say so. But be careful. You might be lying. You're trapped. You're both hurting yourself. And you know what you need to do to get it right. Many people are trapped in a situation they want out. A drug addict want off that stuff. They trying to, some of them trying to get off of it. Alcohol trying to get off of it. Men, you got men and women who have sex addictions. All kind of addictions. Amen. And then so they're trapped. They're crying night and day because of their situation. Anybody here got a situation that got you up at night? It's got you crying day and night. That's not from God, y'all. God didn't do that to you. He's a deliverer. And I'm in somebody's household today. Because your joy is not related to God. Or your unhappiness. It's related to the devil. That's who is destroying the world. He is a destroyer. That's why they call him Abaddon, Apollyon. He's out to destroy all of us. He don't want us to come in here with joy. Don't let it happen. Why? God has done great things. God is going to continue to do great things. If you see the good in life, focus on the good. That's this afternoon. Set your mind on things above. If you set your mind on God, you can never be mad. If you set your mind on Jesus, you can never hate anyone. God is love. It's only when we take our mind off of God that other things come in. And that's what happens. That's how the devil works. But notice this. When he saw Jesus, verse 6.
When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped.
Yeah, he knew something about Jesus. He knew something about him. How much do you know about Jesus? Amen. Have you heard about him? Amen. Have you heard the old story how our Savior came from glory? How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me? Have you heard about Jesus? This man knew about him. Somebody had said something about him. Have somebody said something to you about Jesus? How he can bring you out the tombs. He can bring you joy. He can bring you peace. He can bring you happiness. May I remind all of us that we need to look at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And if we look at Jesus, you never be able to hate him. You can't hate Jesus. You can only be dependent on him. You can only love him. Because he done no harm. He done no wrong. He knew no wrong. There was no guile found in his mouth. Amen. How many of you all can see Jesus? I mean, well, I remember I used to have it when I was in office when the secretary would have a problem, Jolene. She'd have a problem. I said, she said, see Jesus. That's what I taught. I put it up on the door. See Jesus. When somebody walk in and they try to disturb your day, you see Jesus. You won't be mad at them. You can't be mad at them. And she's probably listening this morning. Yeah. Can't be mad at them. Say, see Jesus. How many of you all work on that, seeing Jesus, when you see someone coming at you, you know they're coming with some disturbing news or something? Can you transform to a thought of who I see coming? Is that person Jesus or the devil? Which one gonna bring you peace? You can see it. You know it. The answer is who? Jesus. So when you have that thought, see Jesus. Because you'll be at peace. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. But your mind will be at peace because in your mind, the best thing for me to do is see Jesus. Amen. Now, he saw him from afar off. So the Lord is always close enough to see. In our lives, y'all know what I'm saying? He's always there for us. That's what I mean. He's always there. And he ran. This man had urgency. He needed Jesus. How many of you need the Lord this morning? You got to move with urgency. When you need the Lord and you know you got a situation, you need freedom from sin, or you need the Lord to help you get through some situation, and you know you've been done left the church, or you've been out there too long, or you don't felt by the wayside, and you just haven't been all you should have been for the Christ, you need to make that urgent to come back to the Lord. That's what you need to do. Because God can do great things for you. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to who? The Father, but by me. When you understand that Jesus is the only way, then your urgent move for salvation, for peace of mind, for joy, for love, for happiness, for purity is to Jesus. Then so he says here, verse 7, and he cried with a loud voice
and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy son of the Most High God?
He knew he was the Son of God, didn't he? He said, I adjure thee by who?
By God.
That thou what?
That thou torment
me not. So who you think's talking now? Is it the man? No. You know who the devil know? The devil know the Lord. Yeah, he know when God is on the scene. He got to start making some moves. See, when God come into your life, the devil got to go. He got to make some moves. He know God is not going to spare him. He didn't spare the angels. He going to spare no devils. So you want the devil out your life? You got to bring the Lord in your life. That's all I'm trying to get you to say. When the Lord come in your life, the devil and the Lord can't be in the same place. He got to go. That's light and dark. You put this room dark, you turn on the light, dark flees. You turn God on your life, the darkness of your life will flee. You turn him on your marriage is better. Turn him on in your life is better. Turn him on at the job, your job is better. Turn him on at this congregation is better. We got to get the devil out and deal and let God come in, because he's light. God is light, and there's no darkness in him. Amen. So the devil got to go if you want your life to be better. You got to get the devil. And one, the first beginning of getting the devil out of your life is being obedient to God. You got to be obedient to God. How do you do that, brother? By being baptized for the remission of your sin. We got water and blood in the water here. That's God. He's been good. God is great. He can do great things for you, but you got to obey him. Amen. Yeah. Now, verse 8, he said, this devil is talking to Jesus. And Jesus responds.
For he said unto him.
And Jesus said,
come out of the man.
You come out of that man. See, now, when God is in your life, he start commanding the devil. See, that's what some of us need, is that we need God to command the devils. Because that's what's destroying your home. That's what's destroying your marriage. That's what's destroying your relationships. That's what's destroying, that's what's taking your peace, your joy, your happiness. God is great. He do great things. And when God is in your life, he commands the devil. You remember Job? Y'all don't remember Job? God asked, he said, what you on? I'm down on the earth messing with him. He said, what about Job though? He said, I can't get to him. You put a hedge around him. That means God commands him when he can go and when he can't go. See, I don't know about you, but I want God in my life commanding the devil when he can come to me and when he can't. That's on God. God can do it. He can do it if he want to. He did it for Job, and Job passed the test. Y'all remember Peter, don't you? He told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desired you. Sift you like wheat. Yeah, but Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fell not. And Peter denied him three times. But then when Jesus looked at Peter, Peter wept bitterly. He repented because the devil had influenced him. But Peter came back with his faith, and he came back strong. And Jesus said, when you are converted, you strengthen other brothers. That's what you do. But we can't help nobody else if we don't know how good God has been to us, how great he is, how much good he's done for us. We can't go nowhere as a congregation until we see the good that God has done for us. God has been good. God is a great God. And when God is in control, he commands the devil. And he asked him. Jesus came out and asked him, what's your name anyway? And the devil answered.
My name is Legion.
He said, my name is Legion. Y'all remember Jesus said, I can call 12 legions of angels. He said, my name is Legion. It's one chief devil speaking for the rest of them. 6,000 is a legion. This poor man was full of devils. And one time I was preaching down in Killeen. And a lady came down and, you know, she wrote on the car. And the preacher, it got kind of funny because he looked at it and he shook his head. She said, brothers, sisters, I'm full of sin. She said she was full of sin. I mean, she was filled up. And I was like, what? See, they full of sin. She was so consumed by sin that she used the term fool. This man was full of devils. You know how many devils it take for us to be full of sin? One. God never brings sin to your life. Never. Sin is always related to the devil. He was a liar in the beginning. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Who did it? Wasn't it that old serpent? Yes. God never brings sin in our life. So if you got sin in your life, not related to God. But the goodness of God is this. He's so good that he will forgive you for your sins. He's so good that he will give his only son to give you that opportunity for forgiveness. And everything. How many of y'all ever sinned just one time? Once. Two. Three. Haven't we sinned over and over and over again? Haven't you asked God to forgive you over and over and over again? Don't you know that's something to be thankful for? That's how good God is, the great things he's done. How many times we drive down the freeway, 70, 80 miles an hour, 1 second away from a head-on collision that could kill us and die in our sin. But God, by his grace and mercy, let us make it back home. There are many people living to be 60, 70 years old. You're still living. By God's grace and mercy, you're still on this earth. And God wants, he's doing good things in your life. He's done great things in your life. But the devil wants you to die after living along a good right old age, as they say. He wants you to die in your sins, which will be tragic. It's tragic for anyone to die in their sins. But to get up in your golden years and let the devil take all the good out of your mind. Don't let the devil take the good out of your mind. God has been good, you all. He's good. Is God good? Yes or no? He's good. Has he done great things in our lives? Yes, he has. Will he continue to do it? Yes, he has. Yes, he will. Who want him to stop? The devil. Notice this. I'm getting closing here. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there are nigh unto the mountains a great herd of what?
A swine.
Swine. Feeding. Now swine is a pig. And all the devils besought him, saying, what?
Saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forward Jesus gave.
Hold on just a minute. Now, pigs are kind of considered unclean at that time. They weren't supposed to eat pork, you know. Like, that's what the Muslims tell us today, you know. We're not supposed to be eating pork. That was the old law. One brother was talking about how he was at a college, and they were lined up, and the guy in front of us, man. Eating pork is a sin. He said, well, pass that sin on over here. He wanted that pork chop. I said, brother, don't pass that sin on over here. He didn't believe a piece of pork chop was sin. Amen. That brother, we don't believe y'all. No, we don't believe that, do you? Said, I'm going to eat me a pig feed if I need it. I mean, y'all like pig feed. Hog maws and chillings. Me too. He said, I'm getting hungry, boy. Ooh, I'm hungry, I'm chilling. Y'all, if you don't like chilling, you ain't here. Some people don't like chilling. I don't like the way they smell, but I can eat them though. Y'all eat them? Now, look here. Watch what happens here.
And forthwith Jesus gave them leave.
Now Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out.
He entered into the swine.
Yeah.
And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea.
Yeah.
And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done.
Now, you got to be these guys who are out there feeding these pigs and stuff, about 2,000 of them, right? And all of a sudden, all of them take off running. You see, and they all run to the water, right? You know where the devil going to get destroyed at? In the water. Baptism. God always used water to deal with the devil. If you want the devil out your life, you got to go to the water. Amen. That's where they die at. He can't deal with that blood on that water. That blood on the water is the blood of Jesus. And when Jesus' blood is in the water, it'll wash away sin. The devil can't go in the water with you. It's blood in that water. That's why you need to be born again this morning. Become a Christian. You need God in your life, and the devil will be gone. And the folks that see all this going on, they were amazed. But here's the point I want to get to. And they come to Jesus, see him that was possessed in the devil. Notice what happened.
And had the legion. And sitting.
Now
and
you
clothed.
Can see this guy, all of a sudden the people knew about him, but now they go up there and they see this same guy sitting and clothed and his what?
In his right mind.
You know, somebody could say to you, man, something happened to you. Have you lost your mind? You different. You ain't the same Tommy I knew. You ain't the same John I knew. You ain't the same Bob I knew. You're not the same Sue I knew. Something wrong? Something changed? You know, that's a good news information right there. When you change for the Lord and you change, you repent of something you've done and you know you shouldn't have done it. And you go back to those people who knew you did it and you don't do it no more. They'll say, man, what's wrong? You done changed? Yeah, see, when you used to drink and you go around the people, they're going to say, you changed? When you smoke weed and you go back around the people who smoke and you don't smoke nothing, you change. When you used to lie and you stop lying, you change. When you used to get on the phone with them and gossip and go along with it, this time they call you, I don't have nothing to do with that. You change? Did you change? Something changed? What changed? When I wasn't coming to worship service, I started to come. What changed? Well, I used to be just Sunday morning only. Now I'm on Bible class Wednesday night and afternoon service. So what changed? What changed? Who changed you? Why did you change? I used to be a troublemaker. I ain't doing that no more. Why did you change? What changed you? I used to not forgive people, brother, but now I forgive. What changed you? Why did you change? But let's ask someone, do you need to change? Do you need the change so you can forgive, so you can love, so you can not hate, so you can forgive, so you can restore, so you can be better? Do you need to make a change? If you need to make a change, why wouldn't you make the change? The only hope of change is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they saw it.
They were afraid.
The people who saw the change and knew something had happened.
And they saw it, told them how it befell to him that he possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine.
Right, read.
And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast.
They said, Jesus, read on.
And when he saw, and he was coming to the ship,
he that had possessed
with the devil
now,
prayed
the
him.
The man that made the change, that was changed by Jesus' presence in the life, he said, I'm so thankful that I'm free, that I just want to go with you. I want to be with the Lord. Now, how many of you just want to be with the Lord in your life? You know, you get to a point where you don't like wrong, you don't like issue, you don't like arguing and fighting and all that. Anybody ever got to that point in your life where you don't like that stuff no more? You just want Jesus. You just want peace. You just want love and happiness and joy. How do you do that, Brother Brooks? You got to keep Jesus in your life. And he said, Lord, I just don't want you to leave me. But Jesus said, yeah, now I got to move on right now. Because there are some other people out there trapped in tombs. There's some in Houston trapped in tomb. Brooks preaching to them. They still trapped. And that's the message of the gospel. It's a message of freedom to free us and get us out of the traps. He was so thankful though. You're not going to help no one else until you're thankful how good God has been in your life. When you think about when you went to the doctor and he came out with a good positive report, who do you give credit to? Jesus said, here's what I need you to do.
Go home to thy friends.
He said, no, what now I want you to do, because here's what's going to help people. It's verse 19, he says, I got to get on the ship, see, but I left you something great. I gave you freedom. What I want you to do is go home. That's family. Tell them what I done. And go to your friends. See, brothers and sisters, if we focus on the Lord, all of us, you know, we'll start bringing friends and family to hear the truth. Cause you know, God bought you out of a bad situation. You was in a horrible pit, but he set you on solid ground. That's why we say on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground, what? It's sinking sand. Brother, sister, I'm hoping to encourage you today to think the positive. Like Jesus left him. Here's the positive thought. You go now and tell everybody else how great things I have done for thee. And I had compassion on you. See, if we take the message of forgiveness to the world, if we take the message of compassion and love that Jesus had done in our life, it can't do nothing but bless other people. For Jesus basically told him, go bless someone else. Let them know where your freedom came from. Let them know where your peace is coming from. Let them know who put your clothes back on your back. Let them know who got you out the tomb. Let them know who feed you. Let them know who took care of you. Let them know who got the devils out of you. Let them know. Let them know. Let them know. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, God want to do great things for you. He want to give you that freedom. He said, Brother Brooks, I need to be free. I've been going through a whole lot in my life. Why wouldn't you come to Jesus this morning? Jesus gave this command to me to preach this gospel, this good news, that his son, that God so loved you, and his son hung on the cross, shed his blood, suffered on that cross, shed his blood and washed your sins away. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, the blood washes away sins. And then Jesus, after they took him down, after that suffering, wearing the crown of thorns, staying on the cross 6 hours, they took him down, buried him in a tomb, and he got up on Sunday morning with all power in his hands. And he said, go tell the good news. Go tell them what I did. I did it for them. Tell them. If they believe it, baptize them. We got water here this morning. We're ready to baptize you now for the remission of your sins. Do you believe it though? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to make a change in your life? Say, I repent. I'm going home a changed person. Man, a woman, young man, young girl. Wouldn't you want to change? We all should want to change for the better. Amen. Wouldn't you come to Jesus this morning? And you come, when you come, we're going to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God? You simply answer, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. And what we're going to do then, Brother Brooks, we're going to baptize you for the remission of your sins. And we got the water here, the clothes ready, angels on standby. Something for your hair. No reason for you can't come to the Lord. And then when you come up, when you resurrect out of the water, you'll take your first breath as a child of God. Then you live with peace and the devil is gone. You just stay with the Lord and you'll be a winner in life. Amen, somebody. And if you're here today and you're a brother or sister need prayer, why wouldn't you come? Prayers of the righteous availeth much. That's the good thing. Great things God do for us. He forgive us. If you need to come home, please come home. Repent of your sins. Confess your faults one to another. That's for members of the Church of Christ. If you want to come for prayer, for confession, or baptism, do it as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Amen.
God send his son. come this morning. Let him in your life. Let him in your life this morning.
Heal and forgive. He lived and died.
Why? Why?
To buy my pardon.
What did it say? What did
it
say?
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Why would you come this morning?
Because he
Well, you need to come this morning.
All fear is gone.
Someone need to come this morning.
Because